This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I just want to learn more about why the person that doesn't want to take a quarterback at number two is that person. We've had a lot of different updates on this. In fact, really, I think in the past 24 hours, it has been more of an evolvement of not just recognizing that there's Shador Sanders at two, but the idea that maybe even Cam Ward could be available at two and figuring out what the Browns would want to do. But I saw you online earlier today already trying to, kick the hornet's nest, if you will, and knock down some of those ideas and thoughts already.
Just trying to explain myself.
And that's what I'm here for. I'm here for just an explanation. I just want to know how we got here. And more importantly, and I open up the phone lines at 216-474-0092, is either side even willing to budge on quarterback at two plans? Because I do think we are in this spot where if you are pro quarterback at two, you have your reasons. And if you're anti quarterback at two, you have those reasons. And there aren't many people willing to budge. We'll play audio of somebody that might be coming up in a little bit. But it feels like people are pretty entrenched right now, Daryl.
Yeah. My thing is that the top two players in this draft class are not quarterbacks. And therefore, they shouldn't be the first and second players taken off the board just because they play that position. Yes, I recognize the Browns have been dumpster diving since 1999 for quarterbacks. They've been taking flyers on guys since 99. They've made dumb decisions since 99, reaching on players. They have wasted first-round picks on guys that should have never been wasted on them since 99. So I recognize the need. What I don't want to see the Browns do is what they always do, and that is do something because they feel the need to do something.
Okay, but I want to focus in on what you said in the beginning there, and I apologize. I lasted 3 minutes, 30 seconds before I was Johnny Jam up today, but like it's going to happen because it's something that I was thinking a lot about. And all right, so let's use Daniel Jeremiah. I just chose a random mock drafter, random person. Would you say we all respect...
10th and 11th players on his list.
Not even going down that direction. Would you say you respect Daniel Jeremiah,
100%.
Right? What was the first part of the comment that you made? You said you would take...
They're not the top two players? They are not the top two players available in this draft class.
Okay, so Daniel Jeremiah has a guy named Ashton Jeanty, the running back that finished high up in the Heisman. He didn't win the Heisman Award, but he was top three in the Heisman right this year. He's got him as the fourth best player on his board. If the Browns,
I'm not taking a running back with the second pick.
Right, that would be insane.
That would be absolutely insane.
Well, Mel Kiper alone said he wouldn't take Jim Brown if Jim Brown was available in the draft, right, because you don't take running backs that early, right?
I would take him at 33 though.
Okay. But you see how this is conflating with a lot of the logic that you're presenting to me here. So if you're not willing to take a running back, and let's say the Browns traded with the Raiders and you had the sixth overall pick, and you're saying, no chance am I taking Ashton Jeanty there, because conventional knowledge is assumed you don't take a running back that high.
Right.
But he's the best player available. Daniel Jeremiah says he's the fourth best player in the entire draft and the fourth best player that's there. He's the best actual football player available. Why are you making the concessions for that? But then when we use the quarterback logic, then all of a sudden it's just Fugazi.
Because the one position that you cannot inflate the value of is from a talent perspective and talk yourself into being better than they actually are is quarterback. If you make if you make a mistake with a running back, if you make a mistake from a defensive tackle or any other position on the field other than quarterback, okay?
Yeah.
Those are not franchise killing mistakes. If you make a mistake at quarterback, that's a potential franchise killer 3 to 4 years, maybe five, depending on the mistake, okay? That's why. Because yeah, if you get, and believe me, the Browns have, I can pull up the list and go through it, of all the first-round picks they've blown since 99.
Yeah.
All right? But I wouldn't consider those to be franchise killers. Yes, they missed opportunities by not drafting better or other players, including the quarterback position. They've gotten it wrong, whether it is they've gotten it wrong in the player that they have decided to draft, or they've gotten it wrong in deciding not to draft a player and going elsewhere with their selection. But my point is, I know what I saw with these guys. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm going to do a deep dive film breakdown of these two quarter. No, I'm not. I know what I saw of Shedeur Sanders watching him sitting in my recliner on TV in college, during the college football season. I would have blown away. Good player, yes. Top player in the draft, no. Do I think he's a franchise player from day one? No, he needs some development. I don't think he's ready to go. I'm a pretty conservative person when it comes to decision-making processes.
Yeah.
I don't like taking gambles because typically when I do take gambles, they blow up in my face spectacularly.
I feel like
with these two quarterbacks,
yeah,
you are taking a gamble. You're taking a gamble. And I don't like that idea. I would rather dumpster dive once again, which they're going to do anyway, and just get through this year and use these top 100 picks. They got 4 or 5 in the top 105 in this draft. I would rather them use those picks to fill the holes on this roster that they have, which, by the way, offensive line, defensive line. We mentioned running back.
Mm-hmm.
They could probably use maybe a little wide receiver help, although I don't know this is the draft take wide receiver. JOK, we don't know what his future is. Maybe they do need to find another sideline-to-sideline defending linebacker again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They need safety help. They need cornerback help. This is not just a team that is a quarterback away. And I feel like that these two guys, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, I was thinking driving in. I was trying to think
of... Trying to figure out how Johnny was going to jam you up there, huh?
No.
I saw your eyes, by the way. Your eyes got real wide when I brought the Genty running back thing to the table.
No, because I knew exactly how I was going to respond to that.
I'm not
going to talk myself into things. I'm going to believe what my eyes tell me.
But positionally, though, we make so many excuses, and we talk about it in such a different way. It's like, well, you'd never take a running back. It doesn't matter if he's the fourth best actual player on the board. You'd never take that running back because we don't take running backs that high, and it's just stupid. But then you have the 10th and the 11th best quarterback, and we can't make the same associations. 10th and 11th best player that happened to be a quarterback. Like, the positional value is the part
that
loses me in a lot of these conversations. It has to matter.
It does matter, but my point is those quarterbacks, in my view, are not elite yet. They're not worthy of being the top two.
So
the only
reason
in the conversation of being the top two picks in this draft is because they play quarterback. That's the only reason. If they were any other position on the field, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about how those two guys are the top two picks in the draft. That's the only reason they're in the conversation.
You say it like it's a bad thing. I say it like, yeah, hell yeah, that's the only reason when they're in the conversation.
They should be. I just don't think the value's there for them, for those two guys. For the position, absolutely you take a quarterback at two. I just don't think that those guys meet the value that I require to spend the second overall pick.
I'm just worried you're going to be waiting a really long time to have a quarterback that actually checks those boxes.
I am anticipating the Cleveland Browns are going to be well in position to take a quarterback next year.
And maybe that's where some of the conversation kind of melts down for a lot of people. Is that, like, I live with the idea that you only get the number two pick so often, and I think you're living with the idea of, like, we'll be right back here next year.
Yeah, they're going to be back there next year.
Okay, and that's where maybe we just don't see it eye to eye, right? I'm not saying they're going to be good next year. Don't get that confused in the slightest bit.
Listen,
I think it's really hard to be like, we're going to be number two again, especially based off of what we saw last year and how much work it took to get to number two to begin with.
This Browns roster is so close to winning big. They won 3 games last year.
Yeah, they weren't good. No one can make an argument that they were good.
Oh, no. They believe they're close.
But think about how bad they had to be to get to number two. That's the problem. They had to melt down to get to number two in the most ridiculous and awful and suffering way to get to number two.
I respect their commitment to the bit late in the season.
The commitment to the bit. I don't know that they committed to the bit for as long as they think they did.
They did.
No, I think
they did.
The final three games they committed to the bit.
I think they were
really trying for stretches there. They beat the Ravens. That's how they beat the Steelers. They were trying.
Just
stunk.
Are you really getting a spark by benching?
No, they knew what they were doing when they went. The moment
Jameis
they went
Winston.
To DTR is when they knew when they actually waved the white flag. But at that point, they were
really.
Already a 3-12 football team at that point.
Here's the thing: they tried to sell us this year. DTR was a spark that they're looking for, right? Remember the clip from Hard Knocks where Stefanski's talking to Jameis on the sidelines?
Like, I'm happy you watched Hard Knocks.
I couldn't even
stomach it.
I had to.
I watched the first episode. I'm just done with the Hard Knocks series, though, is the problem there.
Well, that's fair. But
I used to love sports documentaries, everything about him. I just can't do them the same way I used to.
The clip of Stefanski on the sidelines when he yanked Jameis, and he said to Jameis, "I'm looking for a spark here." And the spark that he was looking for was Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we all knew what he was doing in that moment. We knew. All right, question, though. 216-474 to below 92. Is either side willing to budge on quarterback at two plans? There's one person that feels like they might be going from one side to the other. I didn't know it was possible at this point, but I'm happy. I got to observe you a little bit. I apologize. We did do a little bit of a jam up there. I didn't even know it was coming. It's just we had to work through it.
That's why you're Johnny Jam Up. It just comes naturally to you.
It really is, though. It's almost entirely too natural.
There is no Peterlin pass for me today. I came in knowing this.
Love that. Don't we have a sounder for the Peterlin pass? Isn't this, Mac, aren't we working on this?
The Peterlin pass.
Not today for Daryl. Might be for you guys. 216-474 to below 92. Hit us up. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Coming up next right here on The Fan.
I cannot remember a more polarizing draft when it comes to quarterbacks and analysts, media, Browns fans than this one. Driving in this morning to the station, I was trying to – maybe the Carson Wentz draft back in 2016.
Yeah, where the Browns traded out.
Where they traded – they had number two and they traded out. They punted on Wentz. Hindsight being 2020, it was actually – the right call.
Looked miserable in the beginning.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that the Browns went to Philadelphia and Wentz put the boots to him in the season opener
there. Well, he was a Pro Bowler early, and then they made it to the Super Bowl, even though he wasn't. It was Nick Foles that won the Super Bowl. Yeah, there's a lot there.
Right. But I think that is the closest I can think as far as the intensity of the debate. Should they? Shouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Are these guys worth it? Are they not worth it? That's my comp.
So there's a perfect storm of this to really make what I think is wonderful sports talk radio, but it's the perfect storm of if you live on the idea that you don't think Shador and Cam are good enough, you can have your reasons and let them be valid. Neither quarterback is perfect. They're far from perfect. But if you also fall on the idea of quarterback is the most important position, you have to take stabs, you have to take as many bites at the apple as you possibly can, you're also not wrong in that assessment either. And what I do love is the idea that in a not great draft in general, if they are the 10th and 11th best position, best players on the whole entire draft board, it's the perfect amount for someone to say, someone like yourself, to be like, hey, at number two, I need to be more impressed. I need generational talent. I need someone that is going to be what Caleb Williams was coming out, what Trevor Lawrence was coming out, what Andrew Luck was, what Peyton Manning was. It doesn't mean they have their careers.
Right.
It means the expectations when you draft them. Where then, again, the other side of this, it is not unreasonable for somebody else to sit in my corner where I live, my neck of the woods, where I'm like, hey, if you're waiting for the perfect prospect to come and knock on your doorstep at number two, by the way, you're going to be waiting a really long time. It doesn't just happen that way. And yeah, some parts about Shador, I think both sides have to admit. Although, yes, he's wildly accurate, and there are things I love about Shador Sanders' game, Shador needs to be in the right spot in order to have success. So again, we can go back to the flip side of this as well.
Right.
If you believe the Browns are an absolute dumpster fire and you don't think we're set up to even have someone like Shador, very reasonable to be like, you don't have the offensive line right now in order to have him have success. You don't have the skill position players to have him have success. I can listen to that argument. But why he's so polarizing is that for each tug and pull you have, there's a good argument here, there's a good argument here, and there's a good argument here.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but it's not. So what's fascinating, though, is that like last year with the Bears and Caleb Williams, and I went back and looked at it, Chicago radio had to scream telling Bears fans, you're done with Justin Fields, now you have to take Caleb Williams. And it was not an easy decision for a lot of people, even though it should have been. Sometimes even the slam dunks are hard to get across for a lot of fans, because ultimately, I don't think people like change a lot of the times, but with the Browns, they need to have forced change on their hands when it comes to the quarterback position.
Here's another tentacle to this as well. Is, okay, fine. Let's say they end up with either one of these kids, right? Are the Browns mature enough as an organization to recognize when to hit the eject button if it doesn't work, right? To your point, yes, you have to take stabs at it, right? Got to take some chances in the hopes you're, as long as you don't have the guy, you got to keep looking for him, right?
Yeah.
But are they mature enough to realize that it'll be time to move on if it's not working out? Or are they going to force feed it and sell it and try and make it work when everyone in the world can see, yeah, no, it's not working?
Well, so on that point, too, I think we have earlier expectations on these quarterbacks than we ever have. And maybe that's Joe Burrow going to the Super Bowl early. Maybe that's... Go ahead, tell me.
Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl on his first contract before he got paid.
Right.
Well,
he also sat out his whole entire first season, though. Formula, but like Jaden Daniels, there's a lot of quarterbacks that have worked very early on.
The formula in the NFL now is, fairly or unfairly, is that you, by having the rookie quarterbacks on those rookie contracts, you have your cap space that you can spend on the roster around them.
Right.
So the pressure is in those first 5 years to get your winning program in place so that when it becomes time to pay said quarterback in his second contract, not a lot of work needs to be done on the roster, and you can just hit the ground running. Look at the Commanders right now with Jaden Daniels.
But we used to look at Buffalo
with Josh Allen. Look at Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Well, no, Josh Allen's a little bit different.
Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Joe Burrow got to a Super Bowl on his first contract.
Josh Allen, we took until year three to get there, though. And like we used to have more time with these guys. You did. Dak Prescott was a great example of this. And yes, he was taken in the fourth round because he had a D-dub and his draft stock just completely plummeted. But he was someone that year three to year four is when he took a massive leap. And it used to be considered that was the expectation. So.
Yeah.
I wouldn't begrudge the Browns if they looked at it after a year. There's a million routes you can go with this. You can say after 1 year, you're Josh Rosen, and we're going to throw you out like you're old Chinese food. Or you can look at it and say, maybe you are like a Josh Allen, and we have the expectation you're going to get better and better.
But there's just so much pressure on these kids coming out right away to jump in and transform these franchises.
For sure.
And I have too many questions about whether Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are capable of stepping in at 76 Lou Groza Boulevard and changing the franchise. I don't think either one of them are ready for that right now.
Well, what I think is so interesting is that we talk about how polarizing this is, and I played with the idea that everyone's firmly entrenched in their camps. I came in today knowing you're going to be anti-quarterback at number two. I'm going to be pro-quarterback at number two. Let's have ourselves a day, kids. You know, let's figure it out. But what's fascinating is that, so Ken and Anthony this morning, Ken is starting to reverse course. Ken and Anthony both have been in the take a quarterback at two camp, and I just thought this was interesting. Here we go.
You're getting upset because you think I'm getting cold feet. I think I'm just trying to figure out if this is the right move that this organization needs to make.
Well, remember,
I have to examine all sides. I tell them to take Shedeur Sanders because I think that Shedeur Sanders can be good.
Yeah, I think he could be good too.
But sitting here with you every day, you don't. I don't think you
do. Yes, I do.
I don't believe you.
I do.
I told you
the day after the college football season ended that I was there.
I think you only think he can be good because he plays quarterback. I'm starting to get cold feet.
I can tell.
And Daryl, this is why people...
Ken clearly not ready to say I do.
No, people have, for a week and a half, said, Jonathan, when are you going to take your victory laps? You've been on this for 2 months. You've been talking about Shedeur Sanders as if he's your second child. But when are you going to start taking victory laps about this man? I said, not now. Now's not the time. Because I do think there is some room for some people that have gotten on in the previous week and a half to once again hop off. We've both been doing this long enough to see how this goes. This all goes in waves. There's going to be a stretch 2 weeks from now, I promise you, Daryl, where I'll be looking like the idiot for ever thinking the Browns should take a quarterback at number two.
I look forward to that day, by the way.
It's way too early in that. It felt like it happened like 2 weeks ago, by the way. Like 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh, man, I ordered the Shedeur Sanders jersey from China that's coming in with the Browns. Like, this is going to be, I'm going to look like an idiot with this thing on.
Is it Sanders with the number two on it?
Yeah, number two. I went number two, which didn't work out for Caleb, by the way, because a lot of people had the wrong number for Caleb, but that's neither here nor there. It's not going to go great. And then it was like a 2-week flurry that we've been on riding this Shedeur roller coaster that I think a month from now we'll probably revert back. 2 weeks from now, revert back. And we're just going to go ping ponging back and forth between what's right and what's wrong.
We've already reached silly season. The fact that people went absolutely bonkers when that video surfaced yesterday of Shedeur saying he likes to be the Browns in Madden.
Yeah.
Like, listen. Being a member of the Cleveland Browns is a hell of a lot easier in a video game than it is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Is actually being a member of the Cleveland Browns. Let's be honest about it. And especially if you're a quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't play video games, but I can see where
let's
you're going.
Way.
Do you play video games?
No, the Cleveland Browns, though, are much more successful in the video game than they are actually on the field.
I think you can make them as successful as you want to be, right?
Right.
Max won like 10 Super Bowls in a row with the Browns.
Have you?
No, I'm making that up completely. Oh, okay. I have no idea if he even plays. It just looked like the type of guy that would be on like one of those NCAA streaks that would win like seven national titles with Toledo.
He looks like one of them gamer kids.
Yeah, are you a gamer kid?
I'm totally stereotyping here, and I'm not ashamed of it.
I play some games every now and then.
Yeah, he plays some games.
Do you win?
I mean, yeah, of course.
Okay.
He's like, you know,
how many Super Bowls have you won with the Browns and Madden?
I haven't played Madden in a little bit, though.
Okay.
Just microtransactions and everything like that just bog it down completely.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really hate being a GM, huh?
No, I don't mind. I like the franchise mode, but it's just everything else, like, surrounding the game just drags down the quality of the game.
You're allowed to try and show up Andrew Berry in your video game. It's okay.
Yeah, take that, yeah, Andrew Berry. I traded for seven Pro Bowl wide receivers. What did you do as you get drunk at 3 a.m. and just make every roster move that makes sense to you?
Well, I mean, let's see. We had a homeless dude tell Jimmy to draft Johnny. So, I don't know. You could probably walk in there and say, hey, I'm really good on Madden running my team.
Daddy's back.
Mark in Cleveland up next. What's up, Mark?
Hey, fellas, man. Jonathan, I got to agree with you, man. I mean, Darryl, what are you saying, that dropping a QB is going to set us back, unlike another player at that position?
If you get it wrong, it sets you back 3 to 5 years.
Well, it didn't set back the Cardinals.
No, not no more, man. Yeah, back in the day when you had those guys signing those big contracts, but if you can pay attention lately, you can get rid of that quarterback like San Francisco and a lot of other teams, the Cardinals, right after you draft them if you want to do something. So that's a false claim that the quarterback don't set you back anymore. And, I mean, if we fall in at number two, you have to take a quarterback now because it won't be no next year for this regime. If they don't get it right and they fall up in the top five of this draft next year, they're out of here. They're going to have to go ahead and get a quarterback, the foundation of the team, and move forward. And Shador is a good guy to do that. Look at his father. I look at the lineage, man.
They went 3-14 and kept their jobs. I think they're feeling pretty safe now.
No, because of the year they had before, and they just signed those contracts, and it looked foolish to go ahead and fire those guys this year. But next year is going to be a whole other thing, I believe. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Thanks, Mark. Good call. And not just because you agree with everything I say. That's not what makes it
a good
call.
That's exactly how this works.
Darryl, it never works out this way for me. We got to take the wins when we can. All right, more with wins. Darryl's got something spicy for you guys in quick hits. It happens in 6 minutes next right here on The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's quick hits.
All right, Darryl, we're going to start with the Lakers considering resting LeBron for the next two games. And I don't know if it's going to happen. If it does happen, I think I might owe LeBron an apology. I was one of the people that ragged on him for sitting out All-Star weekend. And it felt like it was personal against the NBA. It felt like it was personal against inside the NBA on TNT for what they've said about Bronny as well. And it felt like LeBron hated the format. And LeBron to ruin a streak of playing 20 straight All-Star games, if he actually does rest, I will have to live with the idea that I didn't give LeBron the benefit of the doubt that he just loves to play ball and that's all he ever does. Because he wouldn't miss regular season games to continue to make a point off of Saturday. At least I don't believe so.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. No, because the man at 40 years old plays every game. Like there's a lot of players that you can question whether or not they play every game or don't play every game and how injured they are or aren't. LeBron's not one of those guys.
When I see LeBron in a walking boot, I'll believe the bit.
Ooh, spicy. So even with the knowledge we have, so you think he's sensitive off of what people had to say on the internet and is continuing this on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. When you start missing real games, that's when I'm like, okay, maybe LeBron really was injured. Maybe there really is something to LeBron. Now, again, he could turn around and play against Charlotte and me be like, okay, it's exactly what I thought it was. It was one big con against the NBA, and he was big mad about it. And
he's
justified.
A quick healer?
Well, he has historically been a quick healer. Easy now. Easy.
Omaha! There's nothing I love more than NBA players scheming to play together. And the latest alleged collaboration could be Kevin Durant going to the Dallas Mavericks. There are reports that Kyrie Irving is working on the recruitment of Durantula.
Let me tell you why I don't think this is going to happen. I think Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving's got a player option in the summer. I think Kyrie opts out, doesn't opt into the player option. I think he then goes to New York and says, hey, keep Jalen Brunson, keep Cat. You can get rid of anybody else, and then I'll come join your team, and we can make this thing work. I think it makes the Knicks immediately a super team. I think Kyrie is right then in the driver's seat to go up against the Celtics with the Eastern Conference Finals, and also the Cavs will throw them in the mix as well, and I think that's his best path out. I don't think an aged Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving wins as much as a stuffed teddy bear.
I equate that to Brooklyn Nets 2.0.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
And I don't know that Kyrie would work very well in the Big Apple because it worked so well the first time.
Now, KD's going to be gone. It's just a matter of where. I've come up with my own list of teams. Let me tell you what you think about them or don't, okay? Minnesota's at the... I would put it at like the second as far as my list is concerned, and that's because of his relationship with Ant, okay? Him and Anthony Edwards played together at Team USA. He took on like a fatherly role to him. Like, they have a close bond. It's been well documented. I think there's something about playing with Ant that he would absolutely love. I think him going to OKC, though, is the absolute perfect from a storybook idea, and also the idea that he could probably win there, considering they're the odds-on favorite to make it out of the West without him this year. I think that would be perfect for Kevin Durant.
I really hate to agree with you, but I'm going to agree with you.
That was a good idea. That's why. It's a good idea.
You have those occasionally.
Occasionally. Is this a good idea by Netflix? They want a Sunday afternoon NFL package. Now, the way that the packages are set up right now with CBS and with Fox, this would not become available for at least another 4 years, okay? So you have time on this one. But if the NFL went for a Sunday afternoon NFL package, it would be obviously stripping Fox or CBS, one or the other, of what their obligations currently are, which I'm sure they would not be happy about. But Netflix has more money. They'll just throw a bunch of money at this. Is that something you'd be into?
No, I would not, because it's a pain in the butt to switch between streaming services. The great thing about over the air, real easy to change the channel back and forth, and I think that's what makes Sunday NFL football so great. Same thing with college football on Saturdays. You can channel surf. It is a big-time pain in the backside to channel surf when it comes to football games, and if you take that away from football fans, you're going to have a little bit of a rebellion on your hands.
It does feel odd when I go from watching cable to watching Netflix. And now, I have an audio system, so I have to switch over the audio system as well, and then I also have to change over the input, and it is a pain. It shouldn't be as much of a pain as it is, but it is a pain to do, and I hate doing it. Why don't we have something better set up? I don't know how this would work, but it feels like in 2025, we should have something where I don't have to go from input to input, and I don't have to then change over audio systems the way that I have to.
They need to find a way for you to be able to change your streaming services just like you're changing channels, right?
Yeah, and just make it extremely simple. Like, I press a Netflix button, and there I'm on Netflix, and I don't have to change over the audio. I don't have to change over the input. I'm just right there.
And some remotes already have it. Like my TVs, I have a Netflix button. I have the TV manufacturer button. I have a Prime button. And then I have like the home button where I can like scroll through all the apps to find whatever streaming service that I have on my home screen.
But then you still got it. The other problem.
But it's just
you still have to click into the Netflix then, and you still have to then press on the football.
You gotta find your program once you get in the app.
It's wild how it's like 10 seconds of work, but for both of us, we're like it's too much.
It's a bad idea.
It's not like a terrible amount of work, but it's like 10 seconds. We're both like not interested.
Stick to the Christmas games. Stick to Black Friday. We're good.
I'm telling you, it's coming. But about 4 or 5 years from now, it's coming.
My guy Anthony Kastrovitz wrote a fantastic story on MLB.com about the height disparity between the Guardians pitchers and their position players. It was a fascinating read about Cleveland's tall arms and short bats. So, JP, I ask you, does size matter in Major League Baseball?
He's talking downtown. Easy now, guys. Easy. Nick would have had a field day with this one. Does size matter? So what's interesting to me, so I read the piece, and I thought the funniest thing to me was like the Guardians front office came to him, came to Anthony and was like, hey, have you noticed this about us before? And Anthony's like, I have noticed this before. And it's like, okay, tell us more what you want to be put out into the ether, Guardians front office. But what was interesting was the idea that they're like, oh, we don't care about height when it comes to position players because we care so much about contact rate and we care so much about all these other things that directly don't translate to power. And it's like, well, you have a lot of guys that are basically Oompa Loompas on your team, and then you wonder why you're last in the league in home runs and why you're half in the league of home runs. It's like, well, maybe, just maybe, follow me for a second. Giancarlo Stanton at 6'7" hits a lot of home runs because he's built like a tree. Maybe, just maybe.
Well, you do have a guy now called Big Christmas.
Who's 6'3". He's not even that big. He's 6'3". Have you looked up like Big Christmas's size metrics?
I mean,
he's like 6'3", 240. I'm 6'2", 230, and nobody thinks I'm big.
Jose Ramirez is 5'9", and he's the, you
know. He's big because he stands next to a lot of guys that can't get on the rides at Six Flags. That's why he's big. He looks monstrous next to a lot of 5'9" players that we have. I go through the Guardians locker room sometimes, and I don't go a lot, as you know. At this point, I don't. But there's been times where I've gone through that locker room and been like, I'm like, man, I used to always have the excuse that I wasn't big enough to play pro ball. These guys are tiny.
They are.
But then you can't wonder why you can't hit home runs.
They might be tiny, but they got big hearts.
Yeah, and that matters. It does. They're good players. Jose Ramirez is a great player. He's just 5'9". He's just very, very short. It's a fascinating approach, though. They go for these monsters for pitchers, and then for the position players, it's just like, okay, we'll just throw this out here. All right, faced with a potential probation revocation, Pat Mahomes Sr. admits his Bourbon Street brouhaha with John Rocker was a publicity stunt to promote their upcoming boxing match. So it was not real in the slightest bit. We all assumed it wasn't real in the slightest bit, but it's confirmed now. It was.
He did this for legal reasons, right? To keep himself out of jail.
So he had
what this is about.
He had to, because his probation officer was like, hey, you can't be getting in fights in New Orleans and expect us not to come a call in. And he's like, okay, yeah, it was fake. We're just trying to promote a boxing match. That's all this was. And so we got the inside scoop of it all.
But is he allowed to even be in a boxing match under the terms of his probation, if he's not allowed to fight?
Yeah, Mike Tyson did a lot of really bad things and was still allowed to box. So I think he's in the clear. I think you'd be surprised. Let me tell you about some of Floyd Mayweather's doings, okay? I'll tell you those off the air.
They were fine the second part to that year.
Yeah, turns out a lot of bad people can still do that thing called boxing. It goes hand in hand in some ways. And so, yeah, he's going to be fine to do a barstool boxing fight. But we sniffed it out from Jump Street. None of it ever made sense to begin with anyway. These two would not randomly find each other and start yelling at each other, and then 2 days later have a boxing match set up.
Ah, the things people will do for shameless self-promotion, including risking jail time.
How much does Pat Mahomes Sr. get paid off of this? Wouldn't you think if you're Pat Mahomes Jr., you're like, Dad, you make $100,000 from this. Can you just not embarrass the family doing it this way?
How about Pat Mahomes Jr. just put him on the payroll?
That's what he's probably got to do. It stinks.
Keep him out of trouble.
I'm just going to pay you. Anytime you come with a really bad decision that's going to embarrass me, just tell me the number. I'll write you the check. I'm worth $500 million. We'll figure this out. And that is Quick Hits. All right, we come on back. Our buddy Joe DeLeon, he's done a lot with the draft and done a lot of draft and analysis for us. Usually he joins us 4 o'clock on Mondays. We didn't work on Monday. Daryl worked. I didn't work on Monday. So we didn't have Joe. We have Joe coming up next with the latest on Shador Sanders. And is Cam Ward more of a possibility for the Browns than maybe some people expect? We'll get to Joe next right here on The Fan.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.